In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you watch the Grammys? I didn't watch the Grammys. I never wanted to be one of those people who say things like, I don't understand the music people listen to these days. But you know what? I don't understand the music that people listen to these days. Even if you didn't watch the Grammys, you may have heard about the controversy concerning a song called Unholy, performed by an artist named Sam Smith. I watched the video of Unholy so that I could form my own opinions. The performance was prefaced by a statement that this was a celebration of the unholy. I'll try to keep my description of it G-rated. A person in a cage did a lewd dance while Smith, dressed as the devil, sang and people worshiped him and groveled at his feet. It was very much like something you might expect to see at a black mass or in Hades. This was Satan worship live on national TV, and there were no protests, no boycotts, no riots. I was glad that I was watching a rerun at the time of the Ed Sullivan Show on MeTV. I looked up the lyrics for Unholy online. The irony of it all is that the song itself has nothing to do with Satan or the occult. It's about a man cheating on his loving wife. That is, he is doing something unholy. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think thou shalt not commit adultery comes from the Bible. So why add the choreographed devil worship to a song about a traditional Christian value, faithfulness in marriage? I guess it's because evil sells. There is just something about the dark side, the occult, about evil that fascinates us, even attracts us a bit. Have you ever seen the movie The Exorcist? Now, I suppose that special effects have come a long way since the early 70s, but in its day, it was the scariest movie ever. I was a young teenager at the time that it came out, and a friend of mine, who was a tough guy, wasn't afraid of anything. After he saw that movie, he slept with the light on for weeks. And he told me, if you looked at it as just a horror movie, it was terrifying. And if you looked at it as a religious movie, it was something beyond terrifying. I didn't see it until I was an adult. And yeah, it's scary. It's a horror classic. At the most recent Wellsville Area Ministers Association meeting, the pastor leading the devotions talked about the Grammys and the song Unholy. And that led to a discussion among the pastors about evil and the occult. Every pastor there seemed to have some kind of a story about a brush with the occult. It's interesting how things that we might think are harmless, even silly, like Ouija boards and voodoo dolls, can be the start of a serious, scary encounter with the occult and evil. Do I have stories like that? Yes, sort of. Let me preface my story by saying this. Whenever the supernatural is involved, for good or for ill, there's always some room for skepticism. When Jesus performed a miracle, such as feeding 5,000 people or healing a lame man, some people said that these were faked. Some people said that there must be some kind of logical, physical explanation. We believe that they were true miracles. The difference is our faith. Likewise, when something of a paranormal kind occurs, something negative, some people will say, that's made up, or again, that there must be a logical explanation. One can never really be certain. It's a matter of what you believe. This happened to me, not here in Wellsville, but not that long ago. I was visiting a church member in a nursing home. She was in the common area of the sunroom. She and the other residents were eating cookies and drinking tea and watching TV and talking. Some were well-oriented, some not so much. But everybody was in a pretty good mood. I decided to celebrate Holy Communion right there with the lady I was visiting at the table she was seated at. There were other people there. And as soon as I began that opening prayer, another lady at the table, who had been sitting there quietly and smiling, looked at me with a countenance of anger and hatred that I had never seen on anyone's face before. And she started saying to me, "You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar." I tried to shush her, but she just got louder and louder and meaner looking. It was quite disconcerting. And it was all that I could do to stay focused on celebrating the Holy Communion. She kept up haranguing me through the words of our Lord, through the Lord's Prayer, through the eating and drinking, through the blessing and the benediction. And I found myself starting to think, am I a liar? Do I believe this? Am I too big of a sinner to be celebrating Holy Communion? And then, when the celebration was over, she stopped and went back to her benign smile. Was that dementia kicking in at a random moment? Was she reliving a bad experience she had had somewhere with a person in a clergy collar? Or was the devil trying to derail me from bringing the sacrament to one of God's poor sick children? Only God knows, but that's what the devil does. He tries to disrupt God's plans for us. Even before that experience, I had a kind of curiosity about exorcisms and the demonic. They were concepts that I was uncomfortable with, so I felt like I had to confront them by learning as much as I could about them. In my office is a bookshelf full of books that I've read on those topics. And one of the things that I learned is that even an academic fascination with evil can create an opening for evil to slither into your life, so one must be careful. Now, you may be wondering, has our pastor ever done an exorcism? That's a fair question, and let me answer it with a definitive yes and no. Technically, an exorcism is a rite performed to liberate a person who is demon-possessed. Jesus did exorcisms. Now, personally, I have known some people who are truly evil, who are very much under the influence of Satan, who in my worst moments I may have called Satan's lapdog, but I don't think of them were ever fully possessed. So I've never performed an exorcism per se. Now, I have ministered to people on a few occasions who have experienced paranormal events that certainly seem to be a malevolent spiritual infestation, and I've treated them just that way. In these situations, I've used the church's traditional rites of blessings, and all glory be to God, these have been effective in each case. So if you have a problem like that, don't hesitate to call me. You're not the first or the only person to have those circumstances. I understand what you're going through, and the church can help. As you may have surmised by now, this is the obligatory first Sunday in Advent or first Sunday in Lent devil sermon. So let me review a little bit about what we know about the devil and evil spirits. Satan and his demons are fallen angels. It appears that it was pride that caused them to rebel against God's benevolent rule before creation, and they were cast out of heaven. contrary to so many horror movies, the rebellion is over, the good angels will never come bad, and the bad angels are never going to become good. The fate of the rebellious angels is sealed, and their fate is their destruction. Satan and his minions want to take us down with them. They are out to destroy us. That was the point of Satan's temptation of Jesus. The one and only way that Jesus could save humanity was to die on the cross. Scripture says that there can be no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Jesus came to bleed and die for our salvation. Satan wanted him to take the possession of the world by the path of force or by the path of celebrity. Jesus chose the path of suffering and self-sacrifice to be our king. That's God's way, the holy way. Now, somebody looking for a Bible verse to live by might choose, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me," but that would be a big mistake. Those aren't Jesus' words. They're not God's words. They're the devil's words. God doesn't strike a bargain with us where he'll give us worldly goods in return for worshiping him. Jesus' temptation prefigures how the devil will tempt us. He will offer us the same deal that he offered Jesus. Worship me and be rich, be popular, maybe even perform on the Grammys. It's an unholy quid pro quo. Like Jesus, we do it the hard way, the right way, the holy way, God's way. Now, we don't know all that there is to know about the devil, the fallen angels, and the occult. All that is really important for us to know is how to avoid them and how to escape them. The cross of Christ defeats sin, death, and the devil. That is no lie. We have nothing to fear. Jesus' blood is our escape from evil and our ticket to a joyful, blessed, eternal life. Trust in him. Amen.